I would like you to listen very carefully. I know that you always do that. But what I have to say tonight, I think, is very important in these days for the Christian to listen to. Victory in the Christian life is something which we all strive for. I think every person here, from the time you were saved, you can look back and you can say, well, there was that old habit that I struggled with, but I got victory there, and it doesn't bother me so much anymore. There may be those times when, due to some circumstance or another, that something was wearing away at you, as it were, and you looked to the Lord and you knew the truth of the words that we often sing, that each victory will help you some other to win. I think it may be fair tonight to say as well, and only right that we say it, that every Christian here has at some time or another faced very subtle temptations. And those temptations on a human level would have perhaps overwhelmed us. But the Lord gave us victory. We looked to Him. We leaned upon Him. Perhaps it was a temptation to turn away from the things of God altogether. Maybe temptation to be involved in something which would be totally wrong. And the Lord helped us in those occasions. And we can look back and say that the Lord was our helper. But one thing about temptation is this, that it always comes back again. Temptation comes back again. And when you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those are known as the Synoptic Gospels, their teachings are very similar regarding a lot of different instances and so on. When you read their recording, you will see that in the temptation of Christ, that's what we've read about tonight. You will see that during His temptation, the prominent place that the Spirit of God was given there. Now, the situation was just before this, where the Lord Jesus had come to be baptized and so on, and we, on several occasions, I think, in our prayer meeting, looked at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. And one of the things we mentioned was His temptation. But when you look at the passage we read tonight very carefully, you will see that the Holy Spirit was very evident there. There was that time of testing for Christ. Christ is without sin. Not only was He not sinful, but He's not able to sin because He is deity. He is God. Perfect man and perfect God. And yet for Him, there was a time of testing. Now you think of Adam, the first Adam. The first Adam was in a place of probation, a place of testing. And the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, He was led to the place of testing. We've read about that tonight. It says there that He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, as every person here tonight knows, in the place of testing, as far as Adam was concerned, unspeakable damage was done. And you see, Adam was always liable to fall. And we know that in that place of conflict and struggle, even though it may have seemed rather trivial to us, just a piece of fruit upon the tree, the fact is this, that he sinned in his disobedience. It was a place of testing for him. And being confronted with any kind of thing that would take you away from the Lord is a temptation for you. And it's a temptation for me. Temptation is a fact. I've heard people before and they've been scoffing and they've been laughing and speaking about something which was improper to be speaking about anyway. And they've made light of temptation. And they've almost gloried in the fact that temptation was something that you're almost obliged to yield to. The hymn that we often sing says, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." Nowhere in the Bible does it say that temptation is sin. You see, it is not being tempted that is the problem. It is yielding to that temptation. And having spoke with people even in very recent days and tried as best we could to approach certain subjects with them, not only had they been tempted, but they had yielded to temptation. Some of them won't speak about their situation at all. I'm speaking here of backslidden Christians, people who had once been found in the meeting, sitting beside you perhaps. And temptation is something which is real. It is something which the Christian will have to face. It is something which down through all the different generations of time, the same weapons have had to be used by the Christian. Because the temptations, while in some degree they may appear to differ than they have been, fundamentally they're the same as they always were. The difference between the first Adam and the last Adam was this. At the very place where the first Adam failed, Christ, the last Adam, he triumphed. And you're in Christ tonight. And you can triumph. And I don't preach this message for the sake of putting in 25 minutes or half an hour. I believe that it is the right word for this message, for this meeting. I believe that we're living in a day when it seems to me that God's people are being sorely tempted by many things. Sorely tempted by many things. Notice some things about this temptation of Christ then, and we trust that you will be helped tonight. Notice that this temptation took place following obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ in the chapter 3 had been displaying tremendous obedience to God the Father. And you can read that when you go home yourself. And then immediately after that, just as we break into verse 4, well, you can read there in verse 17 of the chapter 3 where the voice from heaven, God the Father, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." He was led there by the Spirit under the direction of God the Holy Spirit. He was led there. You see, the Spirit fills men. It strengthens men. And it does lead men. And Christ, of course, was led by the Spirit. And it would be wrong to think for one moment, Christian, that your obedience to Christ, some good people here and in all of our congregations and outside them as well, good people that seek to be the best that they can, but it would be very wrong for one moment to think that your obedience will bring you to a position where you're not in conflict with temptation. In conflict with the great enemy of souls. In conflict with the one who will destroy your testimony. If he can do that. But led God's people must be. And as you're going on with the Lord, being led of the Lord does not mean always taking the easy route. The flesh loves the easy route. I do. And I'm sure you do as well. But we can look back from when we got saved and we can say that many a time it wasn't an easy route. There was an easier route, but being led of the Lord didn't lead you along the easy route. Didn't lead you along the easy route. Romans 8 and the verse 13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live." You see, it's the flesh is such a difficulty when it comes to following the Lord. But then it goes on to say here, "For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And if you in your own time take your Bible and turn up Luke's Gospel and you read of the leading of the Lord there and the details that are given there, you will see that the Lord here is under the same leading as far as Luke is concerned all through the 40 days in the wilderness. All through the 40 days that he was there. And you may say, well, why did this happen to Christ? Even the critic will come along and say, sure, if he's God, why was he tempted? If he's as holy in his character as you say he is and perfect, then what was the point in there being any temptation? Remember what it says there. It says he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. But over in Hebrews 2, it says there in the verse 18, it says, For in that he himself, that is the Lord Jesus, hath suffered being tempted, listen to it, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to succor them that are tempted. And you and I
can find ourselves being obedient to the Lord and seeking to follow after Him. In fact, in a very definite way, following the leading of the Lord. Let's say, for instance, some avenue of service. It's there. Something needs to be done. You look to the Lord and you believe the Lord would have you go that way. You haven't taken two steps in that direction in obedience to the Lord. Then the devil's out to get you. And he's out to tempt you and to seek to sidetrack you. Even to try to have you to go and do something else, which in itself might be a good thing to do. But it will mean you're not following the leading of the Lord. It will mean that you're being tempted away from the perfect will of the Lord. You've been tempted to the left hand or to the right. And Christian, if you're going on with the Lord, expect to be tempted. Don't expect to be making progress with the Lord and for that to go unchecked as far as the devil is concerned. I believe what is written here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is written because God's people would be sorely tempted. They would be sorely tempted. But notice secondly here, not only was he tempted after displaying great obedience, the Father was well pleased with him, but notice that he was tempted in a very disconcerting place. You're in Ugly Free Presbyterian Church tonight. If the tempter comes along, you have good Christian people around you. You're in the atmosphere of the meeting. It isn't the worst place to be tempted. But if you're out in the wilderness, out away from others, then it's a different story, because that is where the Lord Jesus was. He was not, as it were, in a very homely environment. You see, Adam, if you think of him again, he was tempted in a full environment. All was good and beautiful for him. But Christ was tested here in conditions which Adam's failure brought about. Barrenness. Wilderness. Emptiness. And we could say that the wilderness here mentioned reinforced the devil's message as he sought to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone wrote and said that the environment here actually sharpened the barbs of the devil's attack. You see, as we will notice in a little bit later on, asked the Lord Jesus to look around him. Yes, he was going to show him all the kingdoms of the earth, but he was out in the wilderness part of the time. And there was all around the Lord Jesus the evidence of man's fall, the evidence of the failure of Adam. And as it were, the devil says to the Lord Jesus when he brings him out here, it is implied surely that Adam was not able to stand. Why should you be able to stand here? And if he brought the Lord Jesus, and you read the verses very carefully at home, you will see that he really thought he had a case here. He really thought he had a case here. He's full of ifs. If thou be the Son of God. And again, if thou be the Son of God. He's casting doubt upon everything here. He's speaking in such a negative way about realities concerning God that he really thinks he's going to win the day. And if he can think that way concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, what about you and I who are only sinners saved by grace? Tell me, Christian, do you know what it is to be tempted? You found yourself in that situation. It may be among your work colleagues. It may be among unsafe family. It may be in your recreation time. It is somewhere and it has caught you unawares. And you've been tempted. You've been tempted over there. And Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians. You must of course remember that temptation is no new thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He was writing here about those in the wilderness. The Lord had supplied them with all of their need and met their need. But it says in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. That word overthrown, it literally means catastrophe. As far as they were concerned, there was catastrophe. And then it goes on to say some other things to us. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. And it is written that people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play, referring to the time when Aaron was he was among them, the making of the calf and so on. And you read on down the temptations there. It seems that once they yielded to one temptation, that it was so much easier to yield to another.
so much easier to yield to another. But look what it says there in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition.
What does that word admonition mean? It literally means to place before your mind. In other words, they're written that you would remember them. Not that you would just say, oh, there's an example of that. But that you would consciously remember them. Then in verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That ties in well with verse 12, where it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I told you before, I think, about the young converted woman who said to me many years ago, she said, Kern, has there ever been a day in your life from you got saved that you didn't read your Bible? And I said, yes. And she says, well, if you ask me in 10 years' time, has there been a day when I didn't read my Bible, I'll be able to say no, because I love reading my Bible. And I mentioned her name and I said, I really hope that is true. Within 1 year, she was nowhere near any meeting. Within 2 years, she was well back at the swine troughs of the world. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And let's face it, sometimes when we find ourselves in a disconcerting place, as the Lord Jesus was in the wilderness here, sometimes it is of our own doing that we're there. But it says there in that verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The way of escape there in the original language refers to what is called a defile. It's referring to a pathway between two mountains, very steep ones, with no pathway out. And then this little avenue or little pathway that leads out from between the mountains. In other words, you're feeling closed in. There's no way out. But if you're really wanting a way out, the Lord provides the way out. We can say tonight, when we consider that the Lord Jesus was tempted in a very disconcerting place, and we consider ourselves, the devil comes along and he says to you tonight, Christian, he says, others have yielded and they seem to do very well. I know people who've gotten away from the Lord and it seems that their business has boomed. In fact, I know quite a number of people, and whenever they started working on their own and making money, it was then that they actually got away from the Lord. And the more prosperous they became, the colder they became. And they got farther away from the Lord. And the devil says to you tonight, others have yielded. And they've gone their own way and they seem to be doing okay. Look at you, so you're a struggling Christian following the Lord. The devil will say to you that there seems to be that there's no way out of your feeling of being down or your feeling of doubting unless you do what I say. Keep following the Lord and you continue in misery. The devil has said that to you before, Christian. The devil will say to you that this is an easier way. Well, I mentioned that earlier on. This easier is not always better. The devil will come along and he will perhaps whisper in your ear, what appreciation do you get for fully following the Lord? And those things that I just mentioned, it seems to me, and I'm very aware of verse 12 where it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Very aware of it. But it seems to me in these days that the devil is having good success. He's having good success. And God's people, I can think of some who've been found in places that you would not believe. And is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that they're yielding to temptation? Notice some, thirdly here, some particulars about this temptation. Well, as we mentioned briefly earlier on, the devil, when he's speaking to the Lord Jesus here, he seeks to sow seeds of doubt. And you will know what I mentioned earlier on in verse 17, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Jesus was led up with the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil says in verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, and again down there in verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, and so on. He's trying. You see, the devil is a very smart Christian, but he's not all-knowing. And he couldn't handle the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's trying here to get him to doubt. And he's really saying to the Lord Jesus Christ here, you're the Son in whom he's well pleased, and you're hungry. Now it says that he was hungry. You're hungry. And is it unright, Christian, that the devil has come along to you and he said, you're the Christian, you pray. You pray at home, sometimes you're found in the prayer meeting. You do other things in the church, you help the minister committee man. But is it not right to say that there's things you would like and you don't have them and unsaved people have them? Has the devil not whispered that lie before? You see, his ploys are just the same as they were then. But he's seeking here as well to make the Lord Jesus abandon his stand. What was his stand? He was representative man. Yes, Adam was created and he was put in probation. He was liable to fall and he really did it in a big way. But the Lord Jesus Christ here as representative man, he is one whose stand was tempted. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was truly God, but he was also truly man. And look what his answer was there whenever the devil told him to command that these stones be made bread. He says in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And it's right tonight to say that man's needs, and the very many needs that he has, can be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may seem to the world as they look on that the Christian is a fool for fully following after the Lord and for not going the way that seems to bring prosperity to them. But the devil's lie is that if you come with us, we will do thee good. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. If we were going to look tonight for a long time at the particulars of this temptation, you will see there, as we mentioned, he tries to sow the seed of doubt. He tries to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that he would abandon his stand. He tries to appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ by offering him material things. Read the other verses that we read earlier on tonight. All those things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now sometimes we think of the unsaved and we say, oh, they love the things of the world and they love material things. There's nothing wrong with material things if they're handled. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong with having a lovely house or 10 houses if they're handled right. As long as the Lord is still in the throne of your heart. But he's saying to the Lord here, here's material things. In other words, he's tempting him in a way that he still tempts Christians. We say, oh, the unsaved, they love material things. But it's right to say, I believe this with all of my heart, right to say that very many Christians are absolutely taken up with material things. Taken up with them. Notice something else about the temptation here. Notice here that the Lord Jesus in the temptation, he emphasized what God's word says. Remember I mentioned earlier on there that the devil had said to him on several occasions, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. Well, Jesus said unto him in verse 7, says, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. And before that you will read that it is written. The Lord Jesus now brings the word to him. Look there with me, please, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Or the word after really means according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What have you got tonight to confront the devil with? You have the Word of God. Good to learn it. Good to have at least some verses that you can quote, or some parts of verses that you can quote. And when the tempter comes, and he tries to sidetrack you, Christian, and he tries to take you away from following after the will of God for your life, and he tries to discourage you, quote the Word of God to him. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did here. He emphasized what God's Word said. And it's right tonight also to say that the Bible warns
against the attacks of the devil. Do you remember it says concerning the Christian, it says that he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That is true. We've talked about it before. A lion has stealth and speed and strength. And the devil is far more than you have, Christian. But I believe that on many, many occasions, he approaches the Christian as an angel of light. And seeks in a most subtle way, especially in Christians who are in churches where the fundamentals of the word are preached. He will seek in a subtle way to take you away from God's perfect will for you. You need to read the word, Christian, and get some of it into your mind, that when that hour of temptation comes, that you're able to quote God's word, that you're able to lean by faith upon the teaching of the word. Now, I want you to show you an important verse. If you turn, please, to 1 John chapter 3. It's just the one verse there. 1 John chapter 3. We've looked in this book before, in chapter 1 of the book, and you will know that where it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Now, the devil is still very busy, but the word "destroy" there means to loosen or to cast off. One of the meanings of the word "destroy" there is to take coherence out of his operations. Not a good thought. To take coherence out of his operations. You see, the devil's strategy would be step by step to take you away from church altogether and away from the Lord altogether. But it says there that the Lord Jesus Christ, for this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy, and another meaning is undo, the works of the devil. No wonder the apostle could say, in all these things, think of the many temptations he had, in all these things, in the very midst of them, when he was still in the thing, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul by himself was not able to take coherence out of the devil's plans. And neither is any other mere man. But there is victory in Jesus. And the Christian that stays close to the Lord can know that victory. And how important it is that we rest on Scripture alone. In fact, if you read through your Bible in the first 5 books of the Bible, you will see there that there's detailed very, very many of the difficulties that faced God's people in the desert. Now, you can hardly think of a possible scenario that isn't covered there in those first 5 books. And think of another thing. Is there any part of the Bible that has suffered as much from the pens and from the tongues and from the attacks of critical scholarship? Those first 5 books have been attacked time after time after time. Why? Because we're shown in them books the struggles that the church can face and how in and through it all there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had the Holy Spirit indwelling, guiding and sustaining him. I have one final thought here concerning temptation, and it is this. He stayed in the place of temptation. He didn't run away from the situation that he was led to by the Spirit, but rather it says there in verse 11, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." And this demonstrates for us what the Word can do, which he quoted and relied upon, what the Holy Spirit can do. I'll read again in Romans 8. You needn't turn to it. I'll read it. Romans 8, verse 37. It says, Paul has been speaking about distress, tribulation, famine, nakedness, sword, all kinds of difficulties, facing, staring death in the face every day. Then he says, I quote them again, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Please note the "in." It wasn't after the difficulty or temptation, but it was in it. Right in the middle of it. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do. He was able to get the victory in the midst of the temptation. It was the devil who left him. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Now he'll be back again. But Christian, let's face it tonight. We're living in a day when God's people are sorely tempted to deny God's word, the truth of it, to deny the fundamentals of his word, to get away from the meetings and get away from the things of God altogether. And sad to say, it seems that many are yielding. And I emphasize the point again, being obedient to God will probably mean you'll be tempted more. But there is victory to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we've looked at tonight has shown us that this obedience was rendered in the nature of one who came to redeem men. I wonder tonight, do you know him? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you made your calling and election sure by coming in faith to him? Are you still the plaything of the devil? You know, when I was growing up, thank God that he gave us much mercy, but there were people I grew up with, and I used to wonder, even when I wasn't saved, I used to wonder how they could be involved and what they were involved in. But I look back now and I say, they were just the devil's plaything. But for the grace of God, there go I. The unconverted person is the devil's plaything. Because sin has dominion in their life. I wonder, has it dominion in your life? But not only is the unconverted the plaything of the devil, they're on the pathway to eternal loss. As I mentioned to you this morning, I couldn't help but be grieved in Scarborough when I saw that young woman about 23, 24 giving out the tracts, and so many refusing. So many people refusing the tracts. One after the other. And she just kept on smiling and said, would you like a tract? Some of them never even answered her. They just walked on as if she wasn't there. Of course, some did take it. But many refused. On the pathway to eternal loss. But I want to say finally that for you, if you're not saved, there is a place of repentance if you will come. Come and get under the blood. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and know what it is from this day on to have victory in temptation. How many people have started out so well, even when they were very young and they seemed to be doing that which was upright. They did not know the Lord. Perhaps they were well brought up. And yet when they got on up into teenage years, things began to go from bad to worse. And how often shipwreck came to a promising young life. What a difference it can make if you're saved. We're making every effort these days to reach the boys and girls. We're very thankful that through the country and in other countries as well, many are being converted. And I trust that we will pray to the end that many will be saved before the summer Bible school, the Bible week comes to an end. But I ask you this question tonight. Do you personally know the Lord? And if you're listening in on the internet, do you know him or do you just know about him? Speaking to people even in fairly recent times, and there's very, very little to indicate to me that they know him. And they know about him, but there's nothing to show that they've ever been to Jesus for the cleansing power and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I trust that the Lord will help you to come tonight if you do not know him. And Christian, I trust that you and I, and temptations are that we will know the victory that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ.